I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's 3:30 at KSL. Jeff Kaplan here. We have a partly cloudy sky, 61 degrees. KSL's top story is developing news. He's been missing for weeks, and this afternoon we're learning one place where Brian Laundrie might have been. The latest, here's ABC's Derek Dennis.
The FBI in Florida confirms what appears to be human remains and some personal items have been found in the Carlton Reserve, believed to belong to Brian Laundrie, the boyfriend of Gabby Petito, who's been missing for more than a month. It's a difficult scene because investigators say it was recently underwater. Laundrie's family attorney says his parents went to look for him this morning, and authorities met them along a trail in the reserve where Brian was known to frequent, and that's where they made the discovery after what's described as a brief search. Laundrie had returned home to Florida in September without Petito after the two were on a cross-country road trip out west. But they had a rocky time, including at least one domestic disturbance call. And Brian has been missing since that time. I'm Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Police accompanied Laundrie's parents to the park this morning, and then they found the belongings near those remains. KSL News Time 3:31.
High on the Hill 2021.
More than 100 people rallied at the state capitol this afternoon demanding Utah audit the 2020 election, much like what they did in Maricopa County, Arizona. These protesters claim the state's election system could be compromised. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson begins our team coverage.
Representative Steve Christiansen believes there was voter fraud in the 2020 election, but he acknowledges there's no proof of that. But he says audits in other states have brought up concerns over ballot integrity, and he says an audit here could also find points of vulnerability.
All of our clerks here in the state of Utah will tell you our machines are not connected to the internet. We need to demonstrate that.
Representative Phil Lyman says alleged irregularities found by an audit in Arizona show there are potential weak spots where election systems can be attacked from outside. He believes audits should be done every year, but by independent agencies.
If I'm auditing myself, then I'm in an echo chamber.
Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
But state election leaders insist there was no widespread fraud. Our team coverage continues.
State Elections Deputy Director Shelley Jackson says cases of fraud have happened in Utah, but it's not widespread.
They're alleging all this fraud, but we've never had that evidence brought to us.
Weaver County Clerk Ricky Hatch says elections aren't perfect, but
elections in Utah are secure, accurate, and trustworthy.
As for the meeting at the Interim Judiciary Committee, where lawmakers are discussing election integrity, Democratic Senator Derek Kitchen calls it a colossal waste of time.
To even suggest that our elections are insecure perpetuates the big lie, and it has the potential to undermine our democracy.
Lindsay Ayres, KSL News Radio.
The FDA at this hour is approving the mixing and matching of COVID booster shots. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, the FDA authorized booster doses of both COVID-19 vaccines made by Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. At the same time, it said the vaccines could be used as a booster in a mix-and-match approach. The FDA granting the emergency use for fully vaccinated people who are at least 65 or at high risk of severe COVID-19. The White House COVID response team has set in motion a plan to deliver COVID vaccines to children ages 5 to 11. Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra says they are just waiting in the wings for the approval.
The moment that the science tells us, that the scientists can give us word that it's time to go with kids 5 to 11, we're going to do it.
The FDA's approval is expected in a matter of weeks. 53 firefighters in Tucson, Arizona could lose their jobs due to the city's new employee policy mandating they get vaccinated or get fired.
It's alarming to us in so many different ways, but when you put members' livelihoods after everything they have done for our community, we're absolutely not okay with that.
Firefighters Association President Josh Campbell says they already face critical staffing levels. Tucson employees have until December 1st to get vaccinated. Meantime, there will not be a sick out or walk out by New York firefighters over vaccine mandates.
We'll show up. The city will send us home. We're going to show up. We always show up.
President of the Uniform Firefighters Association of Greater New York, Andrew Ansborough, says firefighters aren't on the job, it's because the mayor sent them home. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
The Salt Lake County DA's office won't be offering plea bargains to people accused of gun crimes. DA Sim Gill says there won't be any easy rides through the justice system anymore.
Any violent crime where a gun is used will not be plea bargained as to that gun charge, will not be reduced as to that charge, and will come with a recommendation for prison or jail where appropriate.
Sim Gill says roughly two-thirds of murders in the county over the last 2 years involved guns. Salt Lake City police have booked close to 500 illegal guns into custody this year alone. And while the DA was talking about gun violence, there were shots fired at Liberty Park. Salt Lake City Police Sergeant Mark Wyan says there are two suspects in custody and police collected a gun.
There is no impact to the community, we believe, at this time. This is a scary event, but as you can see, there are still community members here participating with what the park has to offer.
Wyan adds they're still looking for witnesses from the incident. KSL Sports. We've been waiting since June, and it's finally here. The Utah Jazz season starts tonight. At home against the Thunder, Vivint Arena is hosting an outdoor block party starting at 5. I'm going to be there. I hope you will. And then you can listen to play-by-play live starting at 7 o'clock tonight. KSL News Time 336. Ricky Meese, how about a quick check on traffic?
Delays setting in northbound I-15, leaving Layton and going through the Clearfield construction zone. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
And my minute of news is on the way next.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.